Good evening, gang. Welcome to our Wednesday evening rewind service. This is the time each week we gather together to kind of revisit our last Sunday service. Now, for those of you that attend here at Jesus Fellowship, you know that we have been working our way through the book of 2 Corinthians. But we took a pause this last Sunday to have a standalone message in preparation of Thanksgiving this week. So actually this week, we are in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, for the sake of time, we're not going to reread that entire chapter. If you weren't with us on Sunday, I would encourage you to read that chapter because it has great implication and application to our lives here in this fellowship and just as Christians and believers in general. So if you're here and you're listening to this little rewind this evening, I would just encourage you after we're done this evening to go back, read that chapter, because it does indeed have great impact upon our lives and certainly in preparation of the holiday tomorrow. Let's just take a moment before we begin here and let's just seek the Lord, because we don't want to be in such a hurry that we don't take time to ask for His anointing. So Father, as we have gathered together wherever we might be this evening, whether we are here locally in Wisconsin, various home and regional groups that are meeting for discussion this evening, as well as many of the international individuals who choose to be with us each and every week we gather together like this, we would ask that You would find us wherever we might be, and we know that You indeed have that power to have Your hand on us and another hand on wherever the other individuals are throughout the world. Let Your Spirit be upon me, upon us, as we revisit this message that is so pertinent to our lives, especially in light of the Thanksgiving holiday here in America that we will be celebrating tomorrow. And we praise Your holy name. Amen. Hey, let me start out this evening by asking you a question. I wonder how much time throughout any given day do you personally think about God? Is it fair to say that you tend to forget God in the midst of the pursuit of the American dream and the desire for material gain? Now, I know we can certainly offer up an abundance of excuses or perhaps try to wiggle out of avoiding accountability in this matter. Yet I think for many of us this evening, it's hard to claim that we have no other gods before Him. I wonder, how is it that a person can guard themselves against forgetting about God? Now, certainly here in this chapter, Deuteronomy 8, Moses was dealing with that very subject. Now on Sunday, we focused broadly on this chapter, but we really nailed down four primary aspects out of this chapter. And that is, one, remember; two, obey; three, thank; and four, beware. So I think we could take those issues, those four aspects, and we can apply them as a rather succinct, albeit brief, answer to that question. How can a person guard against forgetting God? Because all four of those practices, remember, obey, thank, and beware, these are all rather defensive practices, if you will, against forgetting who we are, where we came from as Christians, and thus how we got here. But not only are they defensive practices, they are also offensive points, offensive practices to drive us forward in our spiritual maturity, to attain completeness in our calling and to pass from this life to the next. having finished what we came here to do. Now again, for those of us here in America, as we ready ourselves for that Thanksgiving gathering tomorrow, you know we took time on Sunday to step back and look at the broader picture of the state of thanks in our own personal lives. We took on the call of Moses here in this chapter in Deuteronomy, and we discussed the impact on that subject upon our lives. We also discussed the ramifications of dealing flippantly and a chance or maybe a burden that this applies upon our lives. Many of us, we still want to call ourselves children of God, but this is a struggle. Now tomorrow we're going to, each and every one of us, go off to be with family and have a meal. But I think for many of us, I fear it's just a day off of work. Truth be told, I think many of us rarely consider the issue of a thankful heart. But we certainly do know how to complain and whine about our personal state of life. Man, it's almost a foundational element of the American way, isn't it? For sure, such lack of thanks didn't start with our generation. I mean, Moses himself found out what this looks like right up close and personal. You see, the children of Israel, for them, it certainly wasn't a situation wherein God was ignoring them. It certainly wasn't, as we jump into Deuteronomy 8, it wasn't the fact that God was somehow kicking them to the curb for no reason. I mean, God had rescued them out of the bondage of Egypt, out of slavery in Egypt. But like all of our bondage, their bondage in Egypt was 100% on the shoulders of the people. I mean, they got themselves there. This wasn't that somehow God was just being punitive. Throughout all of this experience, the people of Israel whined and they complained. If you know the account and you know the story, you'll know that even when God was supernaturally intervening on their behalf, they still grumbled. It was, no matter what he did, it was never enough. Life was always too hard. The road was always too rough. So when chapter 8 of Deuteronomy was playing out, Israel now was coming to the end of 40 years of walking around in circles and going nowhere. Again, if you know the story, you know that 600,000 Jews were freed from slavery in Egypt by Jehovah God. And yet you also know that everyone except two guys all died out there in the wilderness. All died out there just going around and around. All died in the desert. All never seeing the promised land. All of them. 600,000 people, save two. Now, you need to know that not only did they not experience the promised land, they also never experienced the fullness of their lives and their calling. It certainly kind of creates this real impact in our lives when we hear the voice of God saying, "Depart from me, I never knew you, and his way is narrow, few shall find it." I mean, we start to realize that this isn't an issue where we're all going to, you know, stampede into heaven en masse. Because I'm here this evening to tell you that this lesson, the lesson that Israel experienced out there in the wilderness, it's rarely learned, even in the generations of individuals that have followed these 600,000. How many have followed that event and have spent their lives going nowhere? Their lives doing nothing of consequence. Their lives in nowhere place. You see, we have to know that there is a peril today, 2021. A peril in prosperity and a peril in comfort. Yet it seems, even as Christians, even as believers, we don't just gravitate towards those issues. We strive for those issues. We strive for prosperity and we strive for comfort. Yet in those things is a peril that really trumps every other peril. We can become so wrapped up in the blessings that God has given us that we can forget the one who actually gave us the blessings. For this very reason, Moses admonished the Jews to praise, to worship God faithfully, so they wouldn't forget the giver. And like so many of us, those years had passed, and they were full of complaints, and they were full of whining. There was not enough water. Oh, and when they had water, it was too bitter. And there wasn't enough to eat. And when they had enough to eat, they wanted meat, so there wasn't any meat. And then there was bad leadership, and they didn't like where the leadership was taking them. And there was hardships on the road ahead, and too much sun, too much rain, too much shade, on and on and on. It seemed that no matter what God had done, what God did, what God supernaturally rescued them from, and in this case, 200 years of systemic slavery in Egypt, they still were not thankful. You need to realize that where this chapter takes place at the end of those 40 years, understand something. That journey from Egypt to the Promised Land, that journey should have taken them 11 days. But instead, it took them 40 years. I wonder how many of us are essentially saying the same thing tonight. Man, I should be where I am days after my salvation. And yet, the reality is, because I've been complaining and whining and never satisfied, not thankful and not praising God, it hasn't been 11 days. I've been 40 years and just going nowhere, wandering around in circles. It took them 40 years to get to the Promised Land. And again, I cannot help but there are those from our own fellowship. In fact, I think there's those across the Christian, if I can put it that way, spectrum, across the board, those who began this journey that have never seen the Promised Land. They don't know what it means to be in that sweet spot with Jesus. But with Moses, as well as here in our fellowship, the second generation, the kids, they'd had enough. And certainly there have been plenty of those who have come here into this church over the 30 plus years I've been pastor that they started out and they loved it and they embraced it and they thought this was wonderful. But over time, they grew self-entitled and they grew spoiled and they grew inclusive and they grew whining and complaining and, you know, and they just wandering around in circles, never moving forward where God wanted them to be. They just kept spinning their wheels, wandering in circles around in the sand. But then there came a second generation here in this fellowship, and a second generation Moses that said, not us. No, sir. We're not wandering around in the sand for 40 years. Not spiritually, not physically. That group was ready, you see. They believed God, and they were ready to step out. But you can't help but look back and think, what a sad account. Instead of a broken to their knees, grateful spirit for what they had in God, they just couldn't be thankful. And again, I think many of us, maybe even many of us that are listening to my voice tonight, or many of us are that way. I mean, we just are never satisfied. And then there's those of us who aren't really angry, we're not really spiteful, we're just lazy. I mean, we take everything for granted. We've always got our hands out continually for more. Look, we aren't promised an easy path by God. We need to realize that. God's not messing with us. He is not. This isn't a bait and switch. We aren't promised an easy path by God any more than Israel was. I mean, after all, God was quite open with the fact from the beginning that there were giants in that land. There were some formidable enemies in that land. There were battles waiting for them as they crossed over that river Jordan. But please note that God was never anything but faithfully consistent, saying, look, I promise you the victory. Yes, there's fight, but I promise you the victory. And yet, how many of us, we want the promised land, we just don't want to fight. We don't want the battle. We don't want the hardship. We don't want the difficulty. We just, you know, want ease. So out of fear, a lot of those people wouldn't go into the promised land. Out of ease, out of fear, there's a lot of people that are claiming to be believers today, and they won't go in. Both then and now, these people would rather wander around in the middle of nowhere, boring city, going nowhere, wandering in circles in the sand. They would rather have that. Some sort of kind of weird moderation, elusive flatline. They'd rather have that than step out in faith. Look, there are many of us tonight that are spending and will spend the rest of our lives doing the same. As I mentioned on Sunday, how blessed we are as a church. Man, I sometimes I just think, how could God bless us more than He is? How blessed we are as a church. How blessed we are as individuals that are in this church. But let me ask you something. Are we as children of God, whether you attend this church or not, are we as children of God regularly stopping to look back over our shoulders and remembering God's rescue from our personal Egypt, from slavery to sin and consequences of its penalty? Because you see, Deuteronomy 8 warns us that it is the blindness of prosperity that can bring us down if we're not careful. It's there in which we stand in risk. But we want it soft and we want it easy and we want it light and we don't want any problems. Moses began the text with the principle of remember. And thus we are called tonight to remember where we came from. The miles of care that we have received and the comforts that we have embraced. And we have, gang, and we know it. Once again, so many casualties, so many lives have fallen out there in the wilderness as they wandered around in the circles going nowhere. And never experiencing God's special purpose, never knowing what it is God's calling is for their lives individually. Everything was taken for granted. There was no thanks. There was no stealing against the bumps of life. And their lives and their blessings that God had given them to share with others, it was never acknowledged. And eventually, they died out there in the wilderness, never seeing the promised land. Both then, Deuteronomy 8, and now 2021. Moses' second point, remember, was obey. God tested them to humble them, to magnify them, whether or not they would do as He asked them to do. Verse 6 of our text says, so obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in His ways and fearing Him. How many of us tonight are seeking the blessings of God without obedience? Now, I'm not inferring that we somehow earn God's love and favor, because we can't. I'm saying that God is already pouring out his love and blessing upon us, even if we fail to see it, even if we fail to acknowledge it. And it is simply an expectation, or at least a simple expectation, that we would respond to that blessing, that we would respond in kind to that care. But many of us, we never see it. We can't recognize that we're already deeply cared for, and we lust for material possessions. We lust for more comfort, more ease, more. And thirdly, Moses stresses the word thank. When you have eaten your fill, he says, be sure to praise or bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Amen. As I mentioned on Sunday, the word that Moses uses there for praise or bless, it's barak, and it's related to the Hebrew word for knee, which is berek. So to bless here in this context, it's a magnitude, a largeness of praise and blessing. It's to adore with bended knee. This isn't praying at the evening meal, gang, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's cool. That's great. But this speaks of a profound worship in response to thankfulness, an understanding and an acknowledgement of our place in his hands. And lastly tonight, Moses speaks a warning with the word beware. You see, the lack of thanksgiving, this isn't a benign issue, gang. In our prosperity, we forget and we indulge in the inevitable into all of this. Is we sooner or later start to get a perception that we're independent. We got it going on, man. We don't really need anybody. And that independent spirit, we don't need God. We don't need the church. We don't need a pastor. We don't need these people in this church. We don't need anyone. We're an island. And what happens is we begin to be critical of others and condemning of anything and anyone outside of our personal sphere of control and comfort. Now, I don't know if it was because of my quite modest childhood or maybe even my financially mediocre early years of marriage. But I got to tell you, I, for one, have never found it difficult to live in thanks. I never found it difficult to be aware of the blessings that I enjoy. And you know what? I believe that has made a profound difference of how I lived my life and how I live my ministry. I know personally, I every day try to leave nothing unsaid. I try to leave no love held back. I try to have no failure to acknowledge a source of blessing or a complicity of a joy in my life. I'm keenly aware that God holds not just my next meal and my next paycheck, but my next breath. And when we fail to live in that light, we run the risk of forgetting, gang, the failure to acknowledge righteous due. Such expresses the heart of a wandering, rebellious child. And God wants us to grow up and step out. No, life is not going to be easy. No one made you a promise that it would be. You just need to decide how you're going to spend your life. In protection mode or in faith mode. Wandering in a circle and meaningless place. Or battling and beating the giants in the land of blessing and freedom. Israel's destination wasn't the wilderness. It was the promised land. The place of their inheritance. So it is with the Christian life. Being born again and redeemed from sin is only the beginning of our walk with Christ. A great beginning, to be sure, but only our beginning. And if, like Israel at Kadesh Barnea, at that place of crossing over the River Jordan and into this brave new land, if we rebel in unbelief, if we fail to remember, if we fail to be thankful, then we will wander through life. And sadly, it's our loss. We never enjoy what God planned for us. We never know what God planned for us. But if we surrender today to the Lord and we surrender to and in obedience to his will, if we remember always and live out our lives in thankfulness, He will enable us to be more than conquerors. So I wish you guys all a great evening, no matter where you are. If you're going to go into small groups tonight, you can just sit there and fail to grasp the reality of your lives, or you can acknowledge, I'm still wandering around the wilderness. I'm fearful to cross over. But with the Lord's help, I want to do so. And I want to do so tonight. You got people there who lay hands on you and pray over you. God is good. And if you're still breathing, you're still in the game. So I wish you a good evening. I wish you a great Thanksgiving for those of you here in America. We have much to be thankful for as Americans. And most definitely, we have much to be thankful for as Christians. So God bless. We'll see you again this next week as we plunge madly towards 2022 right around the corner. Wherever you are, guys, may God bless you. And we know that the Lord loves you tonight. And we certainly do too. And we praise you, Lord, for your faithfulness and for showing up here this evening. Amen and amen.